Troy Aikman.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Troy Aikman, number one draft pick, Super Bowl champion, Hall of Famer. Troy Aikman, Mully and Henley, Monday morning quarterback.
Mully and Henley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And let's get out to the Home Run Inn Pizza Hotline. Troy Aikman joins us. Home Run Inn Pizza, a great appetizer for this year's holiday party. Troy, of course, the top analyst at Fox and the Hall of Fame quarterback, and had the Giants against the Saints yesterday. Boy, the Giants looked pretty good, Troy.
Boy, they sure did. Yeah, you know, they had not matched up very well against the Saints in their previous matchups going back to last year and then in 09. Both those games played in New Orleans. But, yeah, I thought the Giants played well. Special teams was outstanding. Defense created some takeaways, and then Eli made plays when he had to, and it was just a good team win for that club.
Yeah, and I hope you warmed up, Troy, because I know you're cold in the booth yesterday. I was watching that game, and boy, every time that you thought the Saints were going to claw their way back in when they weren't turning the ball over early, here comes a return. As soon as they score, oh my gosh, here come the Giants back the other way.
Yeah, that David Wilson, you know, he's something. Of course, he's their first-round pick out of Virginia Tech. He fumbled in the first game of the season against the Cowboys and hasn't gotten a lot of work offensively. Of course, Andre Brown going down a couple of weeks ago has given him an opportunity to get a little more involved on the offensive side. And I know going into the game, Tom Coughlin had said, hey, we've really only given this kid plays here and there, and I think we need to start giving him a series and see what he can do with them. So I was kind of looking forward to seeing what he'd be able to do offensively, and he really made his mark, especially, you know, there early in that game on the return game, and then at the end made some nice runs as well. So they might have found him something there.
You know, what's interesting is you look at what's going on around the league, and Washington with a big win yesterday in overtime, and RG3 goes out, and they go to another rookie quarterback. I mean, it's amazing to see how many rookies are making plays all over the league on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you know, it is. And Kirk Cousins to come in and do what he did is, I think it's impressive. There's two rules of thought, you know. I mean, either a guy comes in and he hasn't had any work and he just really struggles, and then the next week he does a little bit better. Or, you know, you put a guy in off the bench, he hasn't had really enough time to even think about what he has to go do, you know, or get nervous about it, and he's just out there playing and reacting. And Kirk Cousins came in earlier in the season, did a nice job. He did an excellent job yesterday in that game. A lot of people were surprised by the pick after taking RG3 that they would then later take another rookie at the quarterback position, and maybe in the long run it's going to be a detriment to Kirk Cousins. But I liked him coming out. He's a smart guy. He played well, and how long he'll have to be relied on this year, we'll see. I guess it's not an ACL tear, which is great for the Redskins and for RG3, but from experience, when I've had knee injuries like that, it's pretty sore, you know, and it's hard to bend that thing. And it'll be interesting to see if he's able to come back, and if he is this week, whether or not he can be effective running the football.
It is a State Farm Bears Monday on The Score, and Troy Aikman sponsored by Wingstop, the place to go for wings. And Troy, you know, we're kind of in free fall here in Chicago with the Bears. Now four of the last five they've dropped, and, you know, I know there's a lot of mediocrity and worse around this league, but they're still a playoff team. The percentages say they're still about a 65-70% chance of being in the playoffs, but they were 95 at one point when they were 7-1. it's amazing because when you watch them, you don't know, you know, where you start putting what do you try to repair first? The offense with 3 weeks left looks like it's beyond really getting any kind of improvement from here on out. So maybe you have to get the defense, you know, getting takeaways again.
Well, that or Brandon Marshall's got to go catch, you know, 20 balls.
Oh,
a week.
Boy.
You know, I mean, I don't know, you know, what exactly is going on there. You know, we've got Chicago this week. I'm going to get a chance to see Chicago for the first time, you know, up close, and looking forward to that. And I obviously didn't get a chance to watch that game yesterday, but, you know, just kind of looking at the numbers and what took place, it is hard to believe that Minnesota, for instance, can win a game after having seen them the week before against Green Bay and how inept they were throwing the football in that game, and they weren't any better.
No, yesterday. 91 yards yesterday.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, of course, Adrian Peterson, it still amazes me. Two things. One is that he can get the yardage that he can get on the ground when everyone knows that he's the focal point. And then secondly, that they can't get more big plays out of their passing game down the field, but they haven't been able to do it. And how Chicago loses a game like that where, you know, a team throws for 90 yards. And I'm looking forward to watching the tape this week. But, you know, I've said it each week that, you know, defenses, if you're really, really dominant, as the Bears had been through most of the season, then you can win games in this league. But if you're not scoring points, it's hard, because when you're not doing much offensively, then games are always really, really tight. You know, I mean, if your whole philosophy is we're going to run the football and we're going to play great defense, then the margin for error becomes, very, very small. And you've got teams like Minnesota that should not really be as good as Chicago, that are able to stay in games and then find ways to win games. And that's it's just a hard formula to win in today's game.
You know, I believe, Troy, this is an astounding statistic, but I believe that's the second time in 5 weeks they've lost to a team that had less than 100 yards passing. They allowed 91 to these guys, and then I think it was Matt Schaub with 95 yards passing for Houston. That was a close game. It was 13-6, whatever. But how do you lose games when people can't –
There was a return for a touchdown, right? I mean,
there was one return for a touchdown and another one to the 5 yard line that set up a touchdown. So, I mean, that's the answer.
That's how it happens, you know. I mean, that's what I'm saying is that, you know, when you aren't, not that teams should be this way, but if you think back to the greatest show on turf with the St. Louis Rams, and, you know, Martz, of course, was coordinating that offense. You know, they didn't care if they threw three interceptions in those games, you know, because they were going to throw five and six touchdowns. You know, I mean, they were a big play offense, and so they could blow people out even when they didn't play great football. I'm all for, you know, being able to run the ball. I'm all for playing great defense. Shoot, you know, I was on teams that could do that, but I was also on teams that could throw the football when we had to and move the ball in the air pretty prolifically. And if you're not able to do that and you're constantly relying on your ability to run the ball, that's a hard proposition. I mean, even Minnesota, now they won the game, but there's a reason why it's been a tough year for them too. And I just think that when you look at the teams around the league, whether it's the Green Bay Packers or it's the New England Patriots, and there's other teams, San Francisco is somewhat of an exception, that there are teams that move the ball very well offensively. Defensively, they're giving up yards. The Giants give up yards defensively. They create takeaways. You know, so it's a little different model right now, what you're seeing, of the teams that are winning on a fairly regular basis from what it once was. I'm not suggesting that you then shouldn't have great defense. You'd love to have it. But what I am saying is that you better be able to score points in this league, because there's so many teams that are able to do that very, very quickly.
You know, and Lovie didn't really like the way the question was phrased after the game, but the question basically was, you know, why did you guys panic and abandon the run? Because you're down early and you're down big, but there's a hell of a lot of time left, and they really did not commit to the run. And if you took, you know, Matt Forte's 30-plus yard run away, there was no running game to speak of. Even on third and one, they've got, you know, the Forte and Bush out, and Bush with injury, and they're throwing on third and one out of the shotgun. That's not the Bears. They're not capable of converting that with a pass play.
No, I think in some respects, again, I'm kind of going off of what you're saying and how you're phrasing questions, but, you know, because I haven't studied it. After I get a chance to watch them and go into this ball game this week against the Packers, you'll have a much better feel as far as what happened in yesterday's ball game. But, you know, I think that as we've discussed, the Bears over the last several years have been a team that has tried to, I guess, find its identity offensively. You know, I mean, they've changed from a passing offense initially to a running offense because that's what it took. And then when you go out and you sign a guy like Jay Cutler, then, you know, clearly you're going to put more of an emphasis on the things that he can do. And now you're trying to figure out, okay, well, are we going to be a passing team? We're going to be a running team. And then with Mike Tice, a different philosophy than what they had been, you know, under Mike Martz. Clearly he's a guy who I'm sure would like to pound people with the running game and then use the play action, try to protect Cutler, you know, as best he can. I just know that, you know, not this has nothing to do with the Bears, but what I do know is that, in my opinion, football or offensive coordinator in football is the hardest job as a coach. You know, I mean, because everyone thinks that they have the answer, and when things don't work, then it was a bad call. And it's a hard job. There's a lot of expectations, certainly there in Chicago and everywhere else, for offenses to be able to be, you know, able to move the ball and score points. The Bears just really have not done it consistently enough throughout this season.
Troy, I always like to say that we don't know anything about quarterback play here because we haven't seen it. You know, Sid Luckman was long gone. I'm not even joking. Every year you blame the coordinator. We have no idea. We don't know. Mike Martz comes in here. He's a genius. Boy, is he the dumbest genius I've ever seen. And it goes on and on. And, you know, again, part of it is that since Jim McMahon retired, they've hired coordinators that didn't have a lot of experience. I think Ron Turner was the first guy they hired in like six coordinators who had experience as a coordinator. He'd been a coordinator here before he went to Illinois as a head coach. So it's just as if, you know, in Chicago, we need sort of somebody to explain the whole process and how you evaluate it and what that guy's supposed to do. Because you walk in this morning, half the callers are saying Jay Cutler's a bum, and half of them are saying
how dare you say that?
Yeah,
guys dropping passes and no offensive line and no running game.
Well, that's welcome to the NFL right there. You know, I mean, after a loss, the offensive coordinator doesn't know anything, and the quarterback's no good. And they need to ship him out of town, and probably the head coach is a bum as well. You know, I mean, that's kind of what happens. I know that. You know, it has. I know that with Kramer at quarterback, they had some pretty good years there offensively and made the playoffs. But, you know, you can go back a while, and there's been some, pretty atrocious play offensively going back, you know, many, many years. And, you know, and then Jay's come in, and he's had moments where he's played really well, and the offense has been able to do some things, and people get excited. It just, like I say, it just hasn't happened consistently enough for that club. And I still think that there are a few pieces away from being able to do that. You know, I mean, in Green Bay, for instance, you lose your, what arguably is your best receiver for pretty much the entire season in Greg Jennings. He goes down, and then Jordy Nelson, he misses some time, and then you've got other guys, Randall Cobb and James Jones and Jermichael Finley. You got other guys who kind of come in and keep the thing going, and you can never have enough weapons, and I'm not sure that Chicago, you know, has enough even when they're healthy.
I found it interesting. Roger Goodell was at your game yesterday, and there's actually returns for touchdowns and good returns. And
Oh boy. We
didn't ask you about the idea of getting rid of the returns and just, you know, setting the ball down and either punt it or fourth and 15. You want to convert it, go ahead.
Well, I'm concerned. You know, I mean, I'm all for player safety. I think everybody is. I've often said, and I think we've already seen it, you know, when you asked about the quarterbacks coming in, these rookies that have stepped in and done a nice job this year, you know, what I couldn't help but notice watching some of the games yesterday was the number of erroneous penalties that were called that really impacted the outcomes of these games. And they were erroneous because they were in the spirit of player safety. You know, in the Cincinnati Cowboys game, there was a hit where the Bengals would have gotten off the field, and it was a clean hit, but yet they call a hit on a defenseless receiver, and there were other hits on quarterbacks. And, you know, in Ndamukong Suh, regardless of whatever you think of him, he got called for a roughing the quarterback on Aaron Rodgers, which I completely disagreed with. And, you know, so there's those things that are happening that are changing the game as we know it. The kicking game is a part of it. Certainly there are some injuries that occur, but I'm not sure what this thing's going to look like years down the road. And I think in an attempt to constantly talk about all the things the league is doing to try to protect players, we're really putting a spotlight on, I guess, how unsafe the game really is. And so at the grassroots level, I just worry that there's so many young kids that just aren't going to be playing football because their parents just don't want them dealing with the possibility of head injury. And we highlighted yesterday in our game, I think all of the NFL broadcast did on Fox, a 9-year-old girl who has been a phenom, you know, at the Pop Warner level. She's a girl playing on a boys' team and very, very well. But I think I don't want to be cynical, but I sense that we ran that to try to show everyone that, hey, if little 9-year-old girls can play with the boys, then this game's really safe. And I think we've gotten too much into propaganda rather than just playing the game.
That's a great point, Troy. Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys.
That's Troy Aikman, the Fox analyst. You're listening to Mully and Hanley on The Score.